label show you.
Amazing. Oh, there'll be enough power on this one. Yeah, we got. Maybe we should give the class in the other room from now on. The kettle's in the other room, no? What are you tying it? Okay. It's in the other room. By the time that you get the tea, I'll be done.
I have to.
You know what I think we'll do? I think tomorrow, next, when we continue, we'll learn in the other room because the tea's in the other room.
Everything's in
the other room. There's a nice table in the other room. Let's just go to the other room.
The tea's in that room.
Yeah, we changed. The whole kitchen thing has changed. Now the lounge is the real lounge.
So the kitchen's out of bounds.
Well, you don't need it because you go in the other room. Everything there, tea, everything is in the lounge.
Cookies?
Cookies.
Okay, we continue in the Rambam. Where are we?
I think we're on
Perek Ches, Hilcha Shabbos, Halacha Hey. It's been a little bit of a hectic 36 hours, so I'm a little bit... But we gave all the classes today. Didn't want to cancel the classes. So in the Musnaim text, it's on page 136 and 137, Halacha 5. We're discussing the Malacha of Koitzer, which is what? Harvesting, plucking things off the ground, separating something that grows from the ground. And we're finishing up that Halacha, and in Hay, it'll move... We're going to talk about measurements, and then those measurements will move into the next malacha of ma'amer, which is gathering things that have been harvested. So hatoleish aloshim is someone uproots aloshim. What are aloshim? So the commentaries tell us that it's chicory, whatever that is. It's a growth. It's something that grows and whatever. It's chicory. So or hamizoreid zradim. Or if you prune shoots, moist shoots that are possible to eat. So again, im la'achila. So it depends now what you're cutting them down for. If you're cutting them down for you to eat as a human being, then shear kegrogeris. It's that size of that what? That dried out fig. That's the shear. That's the minimum amount we call worthwhile doing to make a person satisfied a little bit. V'im la'behema. If you're cutting it for a behema, all right, for an animal, so the shear is different. Shiuro kimlo pi gdi. It's enough to fill up the mouth of a baby goat. And it seems from the Gemara that the mouth of a baby goat is slightly less than the size of a dried fig. Remember, it's all part of being meleches machsheves. It's got to be a good, worthy melecha. So, you know, you're doing it for something that's going to get you something. And if you're doing it for an animal, at least get one mouthful for the animal. Ve'im lehasaka. What if it's for burning, from fuel, to make a fire? Then shiura kidei levashel beitza. The amount is to cook an egg. That's the amount to cook an egg. Because that array is considered worthwhile to make a fire for something at least the size of an egg. To boil an egg. That's less than that array, no one's going to make a fire. Now, while we're on the topic of the measurements, we're going to now just segue right into Ma'amer, which is that malacha of what is Ma'amer, is gathering together the sheaves that have been cut down. So ha-ma'amer acholin, if you're gathering together these foods, im la'achila, again, if it's for you to eat, how much you have to gather together, shi'ura kegrogeris, the amount of a dried fig, same thing. V'im amar l'behem, if you gathered for an animal, shi'ura kemole pigdi, it's enough to fill the mouth of a baby goat, which is less than the grogeris. V'im lahasaka, and if it's to make fuel, shi'ura kedei levashel beitza, it's the amount to cook an egg, same thing. So these two malachas work the same way, it makes sense. Harvesting, and then you collect them up. Fine. Now just some technical issues. How big is an egg? Right? In the taste of the Rambam. Ubeitza hamura b'chol makom, he beitza beinoni shel tarnagom. It's the average egg of a rooster or chicken.
Chicken.
That came from, right? So a chicken egg size, you know, grade B, chvez, you know, whatever in size. The middle size, not
they
the big, not jumbo, not jumbo, not peeny weenies, you know, in between. In between. B'chol makom shenemer kidei levashel beitza. What does it mean when it says a mouth to cook an egg? It really means not the whole egg even. amount of an egg, the dried up fig amount of an egg. And what does that mean? Ugrogeres echad mishloshe bebeitza. It's 1/3 of an egg. So it comes as 1/3 of an egg. You know, so, I mean, how are you going to cook 1/3 of an egg? And what's that? You know, so it's not necessarily an egg, but it's something that is 1/3 of an egg size. That is already considered enough fuel for that.
Are we talking cooking the size of the egg or the amount of
to
the
cook,
egg?
To cook something that's 1/3 of the size of an egg. That's enough.
Well, isn't the egg itself because it's so easy to cook?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be that much.
Right. I'm saying 1/3 of the egg itself. The egg, because an egg is a very easy thing to cook.
Yeah, okay, so you could say 1/3 of the egg, but usually doesn't it all cook at the same time? Or maybe the outer third?
But enough to cook 1/3 of it. If you only have 1/3
of it. So maybe the, okay.
It's a lot less fire.
Right, but you're not cooking the whole egg.
Right.
So, you know, okay, let's say the outer part of the egg.
Yeah.
Okay, something like that, like a soft-boiled egg. That'd be a third of the egg. Right? A soft-boiled egg, yeah. Ve'ein imur, and what about this gathering the sheaths? Well, that is ela begidule karka. It only applies to what's called gidule karka, things that grow from the ground, because that's the main way the malacha was done. I'm talking about in a field. And, if it's not gidule karka, what if you're just collecting spoons or things like that? Then that's not a problem. Okay, so what we want to do now is we have to now go into the malacha of kotzer, because we finished now kotzer. So after every malacha, we go back into the halacha and see what the relevant halachas are for each one. Okay, so kotzer, reaping. So again, the definition is detaching or severing a growing plant from its source of growth, and therefore harvesting grain, breaking off a leaf of a branch, picking vegetables, flowers, fruit, pulling out weeds, grass, etc., etc. It all fits into that. Now, again, the malacha is biblically forbidden only if it's done for a constructive purpose, where you're picking a fruit in order to eat it, right? And that has to fit into all malachas of Shabbos. But even if it's not constructive, the rabbis say it's not allowed even under those considerations. So it comes out interesting. Let's say, for example, are you allowed to run through tall, tall blades of grass?
Whoa,
run right, I mean, it's high. Run right through that in Shabbos. So some rabbis say you can't do that, because what's going to happen? It's inevitable that you'll pluck off and tear off some of the grass while doing that. And although that's not your intention, but since it's going to for sure happen, that's a psik resha, and that is something that's not allowed to happen. Now, that's basically in terms of the biblical prohibitions. But there's a lot of things that are usur midrabbanan based on kotzer. And this is what we want to talk about, where we're afraid if you can do a certain thing, then you may come on to doing the kotzer. So, here's a number of things that you cannot do, and we'll elaborate them. You can't climb a tree, you can't lean on a tree, you can't place an object in a tree, you can't remove an object from a tree, you can't shake a tree, you can't smell fruits, you can't ride an animal, you can't touch plants, you can't move fruit that fell from a tree on Shabbos. All these things, the rabbis were afraid if you permitted to do any one of these activities, you would transgress the malacha of kotzer, and therefore it's not allowed. And these activities are collectively called mishtamish be'ilon, making use of a tree. All right? So let's just take a little look at what this includes, use of a tree, and now it's coming to the spring and summertime. And if you're privileged to have a tree in your backyard, on Thornhill, right? So these are do we have trees? Do we have trees?
Yeah.
Okay, so the hammock and all these things, can you go in the hammock on Shabbos? That's going to be a good shiloh. So we'll talk about it. So first of all, the prohibitions that we've all listed apply not to fruit-bearing trees as well as non-fruit-bearing trees. It doesn't have to only be fruit. The prohibition applies to the trunk of the tree as well to the leaves of the tree. It applies even to dead trees that are still attached to the ground. Even though kotzer doesn't apply to dead trees, but the rabbis are afraid once you're going to do dead trees, you'll mix up with regular trees. However, it doesn't apply to a stump of a dead tree. There's only a stump. It's not a tree anymore, right? You're not going to have anything coming from a stump. So you're allowed to sit on a dead stump of a tree, for example, or a living stump. I mean, stump's a stump, right? Now, plants which have soft and flexible stems, they're excluded from this prohibition of using a tree because they don't bear fruit or they don't have wooden branches, and the rabbis weren't concerned that people would cut or break off something from them. There's no benefit for you to take them off at all. So there, for example, grass is not included in the prohibition of using a tree, and therefore you're permitted to lie on grass despite the fact you're using the grass. In other words, you can't use a tree, but you can use grass. So if you want to, in a halachic sense. So you can lie on the grass, that's fine. Now, the trees and the branches would have to be a certain measurement. They have to be 3 tefachim high, which is about 12 inches above the ground. That's included in mishtamesh bil, using the tree. Anything lower than that is just considered an extension of the ground, and therefore it's excluded from the prohibition. And so that's okay.
So you
and therefore
the
you could, exactly, you could sit on the roots of a tree.
The roots
of a tree, because that's the low part.
Yeah.
You could sit on the roots of a tree. Okay, now, let's talk about how far this is applicable. So using the tree itself. Okay, there's 3 different areas of the tree. First area is called using the tree itself. So you certainly can't climb, you can't lean on a tree, you can't place an object, move an object from the tree, you can't shake a tree, that you cannot do. Then there's something called using something that's directly supported by the tree. So what would be an example? So you're forbidden to climb a ladder that's leaning against the tree on Shabbos, because the ladder is supported by the tree. The third problem is using something that's using something that is indirectly supported by the tree. Now this is one you got to pay attention to now. So this does not include that. If something's indirectly supported by the tree, you're okay. So therefore, let's say you want to have a swing that's suspended from a hook that's screwed onto the tree prior to the onset of Shabbos. You got that? So in this situation, you're not directly using the tree itself. You're using the hook that's attached to the tree. And the rabbis didn't make the prohibition that far. But even that's only true if the tree doesn't shake. If the tree's going to shake, then you're out of business, right? And so in other words, if you're tying a swing with a rope to the branch, that you can't do. And it's tied direct. The swing is tied directly to the tree.
What about 2 ropes?
But if you had a hook in the tree, and now you tie the rope to that.
Does it actually have to be a hook, or can it be a rope around the tree and then another rope attached to that?
Well, I don't know. Well, theoretically that would be okay. It'd be 2. It's no different than another rope than
you're still swinging off that branch or the tree.
Then
off a rope, not off a branch.
Right, something that's connected to that would be okay.
Yeah.
So if you make a rope that's tied with a little knot or whatever, and now you take a rope and tie, that's no different than a hook. Not really a hook. So now this leniency only applies when the hook was not connected to the swing prior to attaching it to the tree. Alright, because you connected the swing, that's part of the swing. Right?
Is that
right? Right, but if the hook was attached to the swing before being attached to the tree, then it's considered one entity, and then it doesn't help. So you've got to have the thing into that thing. Okay, now other activities you can't do that are included in this.
So we're saying the hammock.
We're going to get to the hammock. All right. So, but it seems. What do you see from the hammock? You cannot tie the hammock
string
to the tree. You're going to have either a hook screwed into the tree. And then you're connecting the hammock into that. Or you'd have a rope going around the tree
and then attaching
the hammock to the rope. But the straight hammock string on the tree is not allowed. Okay? So that's most ways they make hammocks, isn't that? Straight to the tree? Yeah?
Rope, hook, hammock.
Oh, okay. I guess I'd buy the cheap ones. Okay. All right, so it's a rope with a hook and then the hammock.
Yeah.
And if the tree doesn't shake,
you're okay.
You're in the clear. You're in the clear, so that's good. Okay, so obviously climbing up a tree is not allowed because using the tree. Swinging from a tree like a monkey is certainly forbidden, right? Now, listen to this one. What if you climb the tree on Shabbos, you weren't aware it was prohibited to go on the tree, and then a real good frum Jew wants to mess you up, says, while you're on top of the tree, you weren't allowed to do that. So what do you know? So you got to get off the tree as soon as possible. Why? Because while you're sitting on the tree, every second you're using the tree. So it's for sure doing. Now, although climbing down the tree is also considered making use of the tree, but that's only momentarily. It's just to go down. We're remaining on the tree will be a continuous use, and so therefore you go for the opt-out for the lesser prohibition, which is go down and get rid of it as much as possible.
But you definitely can't put a ladder up against the tree to help the person down.
Well, it depends. If the guy would kill himself without coming down, then again, how did he get up, right? Or the same thing, if he came up by using the ladder, you have to go down by using
it. You see a lot with the cats, you know, they climb up, but they can't get down.
You know, and that, so the same thing, what about a clubhouse?
Yeah, clubhouse, right.
What about a clubhouse?
Well, it depends how it's attached to the tree.
Can't go into
it. Oh, could you go on a clubhouse on Shabbos?
They're going to shake the tree no matter what.
No, a big gesunta tree. A big gesunta tree. Like in Godrich, in the place we're at, so they have a from many years ago, a clubhouse that's by the tree. Yeah. Right? There's a ladder, goes right up to the tree. To the clubhouse, and then to the clubhouse, and it goes to the tree. So what will be the halacha?
So if
the clubhouse is attached mamish to the tree,
you can't make use
of the clubhouse. If you've got some kind of a frame on the tree, and now you attach the clubhouse to the frame, then it would be okay.
So and the ladder is attached to the clubhouse.
If the ladder is attached to the clubhouse, not to the tree, then it's okay. So that's
but leaning on a tree is a no-no as well, you're saying.
That's right. Yeah, so that's right. That's right.
Using it.
Now, let's this gets very detailed, so let's set some of the details. That's right, we're saying you can't place your weight against a tree on Shabbos. It's defined as leaning on the tree, and that's called using the tree. Now, you're permitted to lightly lean on a tree, meaning to say, if the tree was removed, you wouldn't fall. That's not considered using the tree. But that's only true if the tree doesn't move. Okay? Now, how about placing or leaning an object on the tree? Same thing. You're not allowed to place object on a tree or its branches on Shabbos, okay? Because by placing the objects on the tree, using the tree. So therefore, you can't hang your jacket on a branch of on the tree. It's a hot day. You want to take your jacket off and leave it on a little branch. You can't do that. You can't lean a chair against the tree, okay? Now, similarly, you can't leave objects on a tree prior to Shabbos because you can forget and remove them from the tree on Shabbos as well. But that only applies to things that you're likely to remove on Shabbos. Let's say your Shabbos jacket, you know, something like that. But things that are usually not removed from the tree, you know, let's say a swing, you could leave the swing on there before Shabbos. Okay. Now, how about removing objects from a tree? Again, you cannot take an object directly off the tree because you end up either leaning on the tree or things like this. It doesn't matter if the item was put there on Shabbos or after Shabbos. It's forbidden also to remove something from an object that's placed on a tree. So, for example, you can't remove a sitter from the pocket of a garment that hangs on a tree. Can't do that either. Shaking a tree. Can't do that either. Can't shake a tree either. All right. How about smelling fruits on a tree?
No.
So rabbis don't allow you to smell fruits growing on a tree because one can inadvertently pick the fruit in order to eat it. But you could smell flowers while they're attached to the ground because you're never going to pick those flowers since it's not necessary to pick the flowers in order to smell them. You're not going to eat the flowers.
So Alex would fall into that category?
You could smell them. You're not going to pick them. We're only afraid you're going to eat them. So you could smell them. Now, riding an animal on Shabbos, even in a private domain, is not allowed because we're afraid of what? You pluck the branch. And I've told you a few times, my wife saw the person do it, the lead, she went horseback riding, and the leader was mama, she was riding, and like just like kalacha, just like simple, just not, in, without breaking stride, she just ripped a branch right off and smacked the horse. You know, so you think the rabbis are crazy, they don't know what they're talking about. So you see, mamish, it happens. And therefore, including the prohibition of riding animals, sitting on an animal, or placing one's weight on an animal, or it also is using an object that's attached to the animal. For example, you can't sit on a wagon that's being pulled by an animal. That's the same thing. Now, You can't touch a tree. Put your hand on a tree if you want to. There's no use of that. But delicate, brittle, stemmed plants, you can't, because then you could break that tree. Now, what happens if fruit falls from a tree on Shabbos? Can you eat that on Shabbos? No. An apple falls off a tree on Shabbos. We have a pear tree in our backyard. A pear falls off the tree and falls on. Well, the reason we can't do that is why? Well, yeah, but also lead a person to pluck off other fruit from the tree. Okay, just a couple last things. Are you allowed to walk on flowers who have weak stems?
Somebody's going to be very upset.
No, well, what happens if you've got those
weeds?
But you will break the stems. You'll break the stems. They'll get torn out. If they'll break off from that, you can't do it. If they're going to break off, doesn't matter. But if they're going to break off, you can't do it. Okay, hammocks we did. How about you have to tie your shoes and want to lean heavily on a tree?
No way.
You put your foot up, you know, azoy, on the tree, you know, or you're leaning back on the tree and you pick your foot up like that. No. Can't do that because you're making use of the tree, all under the prohibition of kotzer. Okay, let's do one more halacha and then we'll call it a night, guys. I think we're all a little bit tired today.
Robert, just about the farthest that fell on the ground, though. How do you know which way would fall on Shabbos and which way wouldn't?
If you're not sure, then when in doubt, leave it out. You should look before Shabbos. Look before Shabbos. No, I'm saying take a look. No, I'm saying just take a look at which ones are there from before Shabbos, and then you know. And if you're not sure, then you shouldn't take it because you don't have to eat that fruit on Shabbos. That's the difference. Okay, let's finish up this halachas of Ma'amir. The next thing of Ma'amir, halacha vav. Hamekabetz dvela. Okay, you are collecting up figs. Vasamana igula, and you make a ring of figs. Fig cake, whatever. Or shenokav te'aim, or you put a hole in the figs. Vihikmis hachevel behem, and you put a rope through them. Achniskap tsuguf echa, until it becomes one whole body. Hareza toledes ma'amer, that's a toilda of ma'amer, because it, you know, it's not the simple collecting, as it were. V'chayev, and your chayev on that. V'chein kol k'yeitze behem, and anything that's similar to that. Okay, so that's all to Ma'amer. So let's just do it. It's very brief, and we'll finish this in 2 minutes. The halachas of Ma'amer, how they apply nowadays. It's amazing how every little halacha fits in. So again, it means the gathering together, scattered grains, fruits, vegetables, etc. Now, the purpose of halacha is to protect the produce. That's the purpose of that malacha. You're collecting them to protect the produce. So therefore, the following things will be included in that malacha. Making piles or bundles of harvested produce, placing harvested produce into containers or boxes, or, as we said, stringing them together. If it's done for any other purpose than to protect the items, it's not subject to this malacha. Doesn't mean it's allowed. Could be there's other malachas involved. Now again, the biblical malachas only applies to things that grow from the earth. Things that don't grow from the earth are not included in the malacha on the biblical level. Sometimes they'll be forbidden on a rabbinic level. As well, the biblical prohibition generally applies only to things that are gathered in their place of growth, meaning wheat in the field, fruit and vegetables in the orchards and the gardens, etc., etc. But if, let's say in your house, there's just a couple apples fell, and you're gathering together, that's not a problem because that's it's not the place where they normally are brought.
What about things that don't grow from the earth, like mushrooms?
So, well, I have to think about that. Okay. I don't know the answer to that one. I mean, on the one hand, it is from the ground, and it is the normal place where you do it. I have to think about that one. Now, how many items is the minimum amount? Two items. Two items is the minimum amount. Now, also, it's the Malachim Amr is not restricted to gathering by hand. Any customary method of gathering is including the Malacha. For example, let's say you gather twigs by pushing them together with your foot, you know, and that way that you can't do that. Or to roll one fruit to another, if that's the customary, that you can't do that as well. So, what would be a way now, to if you want to have apples, on Shabbos that fell from the tree before Shabbos, what would you do? Well, remember, the melacha only applies if you're gathering the produce together in its place of growth. So it will be a way to get around this. So how about if you took one apple and took it from under the tree, walked into your house and put it on the kitchen table? You walked out again and took one apple, yeah, took it and put it to the kitchen. Yeah. So if you do it one by one, that would be okay.
But I thought you said
the problem is gathering 10 of them together and putting them in a bushel. No, that's the problem, and that's the place where it grew. If I'm just taking one, I didn't gather anything.
But didn't you say previously you can't touch fruit that falls from a tree?
No, I said from before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos.
Let's say you see before Shabbos, 10 fruits fell, and they're right under the tree. And then you didn't get around to them till Shabbos, and they want it's 10 fruits. So you can't take the 10 fruits that are under the tree and put them in a little bushel, because that's mamish gathering. But if I take one fruit and just walk into the house and put it in a basket, and then I go again and take another one.
Why that, wouldn't you be tempted to get more from the tree?
Yeah, why wouldn't you grab Shabbos tree before Shabbos? There's a better one on the tree. Maybe you want to grab it.
I don't know.
Well, one could have fallen on Shabbos, and now you know.
No, let's say you know. We're speaking where you know. It has to be where you know. If you don't know, that's another issue. Now, again, this only applies to items in their original form. If the items have changed form, then it's okay. This is why you're allowed to gather toys on Shabbos, even though they're made from wood. Wood comes from the tree. It's produce. But since it's changed form, you're allowed to do it. And as well, it's only prohibited, as we said, to preserve the produce. But any other reason would not be in that malacha. So how about if you put together some cut flowers, because the flowers are put together for beauty.
Like you make a wreath or something.
You know, then, but it's not to protect them. So you wouldn't transgress. This is a very transgress, a different avera of makab patish, putting on the final blow. Okay. The rabbis also forbade gathering items, and this is probably get your mushrooms, that came from the ground, even though they don't grow from the ground. Let's say iron, stones, salt from a mine, things like that. They're on there, you gather them. So if that's usher, certainly the mushrooms are usher as well. Okay, I think that's enough.
That's rabbinically, though.
Yes. Again, things that became scarce. Okay, that's enough. That's enough ideas. You got the point over here. Do we have a minion?
We have exactly
a minion. Do we have anybody in Kaddish?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you'll say Kaddish. I'll say Kaddish. Rabbi Chen. We've got 10 people. Say Kaddish. Another Kaddish.